minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. This is what Angela and I are going to call the power hour today. You ready? We drink every... No. Power hour. We've got UNC basketball taking place here at 12:30. So some midday basketball with the one and only Mike Rice. I have the Jack Howell Show, which was previously recorded. So that will air at 12 o'clock. So get at us right now. There's a lot to discuss. I've got big news. I got big stories that I want to get into. The great split in college sports, college football, a story from Yahoo Sports came out. College athletics headed for the great split. And I'm going to talk about that in more detail. We've got the Kareem Jackson stuff that happened. Of course, he was suspended for four games. I don't think, is he going to be able to appeal this one, Angel? Probably not. I mean, is he going to try?
I think they said he's going to try to appeal it.
He got it appealed last time because it was four games. The other time he got suspended, it was supposed to be four games, right? And then he ended up getting that down to two games. Maybe he can, but...
Maybe three?
At this stage, I don't know, but...
If you can appeal, like, hey, my team's in contention for a playoff spot, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and this is a bad time, too, because PJ Locke is unhealthy. I don't know if he's going to go this weekend against Cleveland. So it's a really rough time for the Broncos when this defense has been making some plays. And obviously Locke, when he came in for Kareem Jackson, made some big plays. But without pay, suspended without pay for four games for repeated violations for player safety rules as the result of his first tackle since he returned from another suspension. And I know you guys were getting heated on this today. Tanner is on one end of the spectrum here, and I think you are more on the lines of where Brian is on that. And I'm probably somewhere in between, to be real honest with you. I watched that hit 100 times. Have I seen... I saw Alex Singleton in that game hit a running back in kind of the exact same fashion. They're kind of holding him up, and then he comes and bulldozes in, and it looked like he led with the helmet. They didn't call a penalty. He's not suspended or anything like that. But they are protecting the quarterback, and I know he turned into a runner, whatever. But I am trying to be as logical as I possibly can when I'm watching this, because I'm not going to do, oh, we're playing flag football, and or the opposite end of, hey, to stop hitting hard. The bottom line is, and I said this yesterday, he came in, he led with his helmet, he had his hands kind of, like you said yesterday, Angel, kind of folded in with his hands just over his chest, kind of. His helmet did make contact with the face mask. Do we all agree with that? The bottom of Dobbs' face mask made contact with Kareem Jackson's helmet, which is why Dobbs' head went down. So are we getting into semantics of where what is a helmet? Oh, well, that was a helmet to the face mask. That doesn't count. I mean, the helmet is the helmet. It did make contact with the bottom of the face mask, which turned Dobbs' head downward. We can agree on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reaction is, oh, the NFL is soft, they're punishing him for hard hits. This is nothing to do with how hard the hit was, how violent the hit was. It's the simple act of your helmet made contact first. When your head is down, when your face mask is pointed downward, the only other thing that's pointed forward is the crown of the helmet. And that's not punishing because you hit a quarterback, and in this instance he wasn't a quarterback. This is a thing for the defensive player to protect himself. Because if Kareem hits him in a slightly different angle at a slightly different speed, his entire neck can get compressed and a lot of bad things can happen.
Yeah, I guess. So I did a quick little Twitter poll last night just to gauge everybody's thoughts. Was Kareem Jackson's hit on Dobbs last night, so obviously two nights ago, illegal? And 59% out of a lot of votes on this one, 59% said no, 40% said yes. So kind of not quite down the middle, but it's not as one-sided as certain media members would want you to believe. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys and tell you what I'm seeing. Should other plays be penalized like that? Yeah, Alex Singleton had a very similar play. But Kareem Jackson continues to do this. He has had multiple hits, multiple offenses, so everything he does is going to be highlighted. I guarantee you the people that make these punishments and suspensions and fines and do all that stuff were dialed and glued in to all things Kareem Jackson with that first game back.
Yeah, so the NFL Vice President of Football Operations, John Runyon, issued the suspension and wrote in a letter directly to Kareem Jackson saying, quote, "You were involved in a play that the league considers a serious violation of the playing rules. You had an unobstructed path to your opponent, and the illegal contact could have been avoided. Illegal acts that are flagrant and jeopardize the safety of players will not be tolerated." And again, repeat offenders, it's looked at differently.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not just this season. This is something he's dealt with in previous years, too.
Correct. We got some texts already pouring in. Like I said, get at us because we're going off the air at noon. And we got the Jack Howell Show at noon and then UNC Hoops coming up at 12:30. Eastside Chris, Brady, if the refs didn't throw a flag on Jackson, are they confused about the rule as well? Big Hub says, if it wasn't called, so don't penalize him now, but he is continuously diving with his head first. And see, I do kind of subscribe to that line of thinking that if the refs aren't calling it, then it's, I never really love the powers that be going back and then adding a fine for a play that wasn't penalized. Now, if they penalized him and then the NFL goes in and studies it and penalizes him, fine. But that's neither here nor there. That's just my personal view on how games are managed and then viewed after the fact.
I think when we're talking about the refs in that particular play, it's so bang-bang. It's early in the game, so, you know, refs, you kind of have to get a feel for how the teams are going to be playing, how physical they're going to be. It's a bang-bang play, and it was also a turnover.
Right.
So that's when it gets difficult when it's, okay, what's the call on the field? Where's the ball supposed to be spotted? If we need to go back into the replay, we need to know all of that stuff. If the coach challenges it, we need to get all that information. And it's a lot in a split second, and the play is over. Broncos are in the end zone celebrating a turnover, and you just kind of move on.
These guys are trying to change the way football is being played. Now, you can argue with that all you want. Angel, if you run a business, and I, you know, comparisons, business, whatever, if you continuously get sued for certain things that your business is doing, and you're spending a lot of money in lawsuits every single year, more than we even know, by the way, you're going to change what you do. So those of you complaining out there, And a lot of these old-time football, I ain't football, a lot of those guys are the ones bringing these lawsuits to the NFL. So if you don't like it, look back at all these cases of CTE and former players that, you know, they didn't get paid as much back in the day. And now they're looking at it going, we need to be compensated because we can't operate. And I agree with that, and I sympathize with that. We can't function properly, so we're going to sue you. And the NFL has been sued time and time again because former players have struggles in life because of what they did in the game of football. And we complained about that. We got mad at the NFL. How dare you? You treat these guys like crap. And now it's the opposite effect. It's the opposite. It's, oh, you know, I'm just going to put flags on them and not let them play football. You can't have your cake and eat it too. There is truth in between. I heard what you said about I played high school football. I was always taught, you know, you tackle and your head goes to the side of a player. Now, I was a small-time high school football player. I have no idea what it's like to deal with these traffic accidents that happen at the D1 level or the NFL level. But even more so, you would think the importance of form tackles and all that is important in the league that we're in.
And, you know, I can understand adrenaline, and when you're in that mode of competitiveness, it's very hard for your rational part of your brain to operate because you're just, I got to hit that guy with the ball. I got to hit him as hard as I possibly can. And that still exists in football. You can hit hard in football. It happens every single weekend.
Yep.
But there is a safe way to do it that protects the offensive and the defensive players.
Yes. It's not that. It's complicated, but it's not. The idea that everyone's against Kareem Jackson and
they're not. This is not a witch hunt for Kareem Jackson.
No, we're trying to soften the game. I guess you can use whatever terminology you want, but yes, the NFL is trying to get rid of torpedoing. Troy Polamalu was famous for this. We used to have segments on ESPN and such called Jacked Up. We glorified it. And then the NFL got in trouble. They kept getting sued for it. So why would they keep doing things the same way when they're getting in trouble every single year, they're getting lawsuits brought about them every single year, they're trying to prevent concussions, long-term concussions, CTE. You're not going to be able to take that out of the game as long as they're in pads and helmets, but they're trying to get to that point. And, you know, Tanner brought up the point yesterday. A lot of players say they'd rather be taken out in the head rather than the knees because that could impact their career. Great, that's all well and good, but the problem is the ones that are getting impacted in the noggin are coming back and suing the NFL.
Well, you think about the Ryan Shazier incident,
yeah,
where he's the defensive player making a play with his head down, nearly paralyzed him.
This is the NFL. Do you think the NFL, back in the day when those segments like Jacked Up and Troy Polamalu and Brian Dawkins and all that, do you think the NFL wanted to go away from that? Hell no, they didn't.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining, and it was making them money, and it was promoting the game. So the idea that the NFL is trying to soften the game just because they want to is a little ludicrous to me. You know, the idea of, well, you're penalizing guys for hitting hard. You're penalizing guys for hitting illegally using their helmet as some sort of a weapon.
So it was back in 2013 when the NFL and ex-players agreed to a $765 million settlement related to concussion-related brain injuries among 18,000 retired players. That was a huge story in the NFL. And
we're just ignoring that. We're like ignoring that today.
Remember, there was that Will Smith movie,
yeah,
and all these players were speaking out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Go listen to an old player talk. They can't even form sentences. Look at their fingers and how jacked up they are. They can't even walk
right. You're right. There are certain guys that play at a certain level, and man, I don't know if they'll say they'll regret it, but why do you think Andrew Luck got out of the game? A great quarterback while he played. And he even said it. I don't have the quotes in front of me, but he said, yeah, I want to be able to be healthy and play with my kids and do all these things, you know, while I'm still young, and so I'm not broken up by the time I get done with this game. The game's not for everybody, I'll give you that. But the idea that, hey, if you don't like the danger, don't do it, that's not how humans work. They don't, oh, you know what, I'm going to sign to play football, and I'm going to love it, and I'm for the brand. And then 8 years later after you retire, or 20 years later after you retire, and you're really struggling, you can't even drive a car, you can't sit down comfortably, you might go, you know what, I'm going to sue the NFL because I'm not living right and they didn't take care of me. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing that, but this is why the NFL is doing what they're doing. And when you have a repeat offender like Kareem Jackson, they are going to push to make an example of that player.
And, you know, there's that blanket statement like, oh, it's football, it's supposed to be violent. Why do they wear pads? Why do they wear helmets? To protect themselves. You can play this game in a safe way.
And the idea that, oh, it's football, it's supposed to be violent. Yes, that's all well and good. When you're getting sued on a constant basis, you can't just go. Like, it's great for us sitting on our couches saying, oh, it's football, it's the way it's meant to be played. If you were running a business and you constantly kept getting sued, you would change what you were doing. You would operate differently. Oil rigs, maybe back in the day, they didn't require helmets.
Or eye protection.
And then
or anything.
People were getting hurt. And what happened? Oh, God, we're getting sued. Okay, you got to wear this, you got to wear that, you got to wear this. Now, we can talk about OSHA until we're blue in the face, some of the good, the bad, the ugly on that. But this is no different from businesses making changes so they don't get sued every single year. So the idea that Roger Goodell and company are sitting up there going, we want to turn this bad boy into flag football. They don't want to do that, guys. Now, we can also argue that they've made the offensive rules so much easier and they're only complicating it for the defense. That's a separate discussion, and I'm willing to have that. But this idea that Kareem Jackson is being victimized because he's just playing football, you don't write the checks, bro. None of us do that are talking about this, whether we're on the side of Kareem Jackson or not. The NFL writes the checks. They see what's coming out of their bank accounts with these lawsuits. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. Stop reacting as if they're trying to ruin your football. They're doing, honestly, I'm not a Roger Goodell cheerleader, but this is what they are forced to do this because of past players taking them to task, taking them to court.
And when you look at offense, defense, which one's more physical, which one demands more, you know, violence? It's the defense. Okay, we're going to work on the defensive side first. We'll work little bits and pieces here on the offensive side, but let's make sure the defensive players are playing the right way, and then we can get into the offensive players, you know, a running back ducking his head to truck a defender. We got to stop that. We got to play it both ways like that.
They tried to edit that a bit too with the running back, so you can't just lower your head and bulldoze in. I don't think that really worked because they had a hard time regulating it, but they tried.
Yeah, because the offensive player, I want to protect my rib cage because I see you trying to hit me there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to naturally duck down a little bit. It's your job as a defender to keep your head up and see where you're hitting.
Yeah, it's. I looked at the game. Was it the Broncos game? Was it Sunday night? Was it Mims? He's running. He grabs the face mask. He's an offensive player, grabs the face mask and turns the head. Now, I remember when offensive players could, I would always think that was weird. I'm like, why can they grab the face mask, but a defensive guy does it? Well, they're trying to crunch down on that. You can stiff arm the face mask. You can't grab and use it and turn the head. So they are really editing that rule too. So listen, I don't want Kareem Jackson to be suspended. I like the way he plays. I am thoroughly entertained by the Troy Polamalus of the day. I grew up watching those guys. But I also understand that lawsuit that you're talking about and the fact they made a movie about it is why the NFL is doing what they're doing. You can argue with it all you want, but they're not trying to ruin your game. They're trying to protect their image and their brand in the future.
I mean, would you rather see Kareem Jackson get hurt on a big play and a big defensive stop, or I could watch Kareem Jackson play football for another 5 years because he can function?
And here's a text here. This is for safety as much as for everyone else. Keep him safer from CTE. Yeah, and again, there's going to be people that are like, well, if he made the decision, he signed the contract, he doesn't care, he's going to go bleed for his team and all that stuff. Again, that's all well and good. But there is zero protection. They don't make you sign paperwork that says, hey, I'm not going to sue you ever. Like that doesn't happen. We're not getting that. So we got to dial it back a little bit on the extremes. There are two extremes on this, man. And, all right, we got the Lonster on the line. Lonster, what's up, bro? Happy Thanksgiving,
hey,
man.
Well, hey, same to you, man.
You getting psyched up for the big day?
Oh, you know it, buddy. Two more days, and it's like fill up the plate.
Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Let's make that happen. Hey, what's on your mind?
Hey, you know, on this Kareem Jackson, you know, I don't blame the NFL coming down on him because really there is something has to be done with that, because look at some of the players and not around him are like Junior Seau of the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That is a great example right there with Junior Seau. Mm-hmm.
And then another one I think we lost here enough is Clark Higgins for the CSU Rams.
Sure.
I mean, I wonder if that had something to do with it.
It all goes in the back of our brains. We all think about it now when a former football player or a boxer or these heavy hitting guys has something where they're just a little off later in life. It all goes to the back of our minds now, whether you're saying it, you know, in passing or you're thoroughly thinking through it. It all goes through our heads. So of course the NFL has to take action.
Yeah, and it's like somewhere the message needs to be delivered is, hey, do hit, but don't hit them that hard, or I don't know what needs to be done on this one.
Listen, I'll be the first to say I don't know how you play defense anymore. I do say that, and I commend these defensive players for the jobs that they do, but the bottom line is this is a legal thing. This is all about legalities and getting sued and protecting your own butt. That's the end of the day where this conversation goes.
Yeah, it is too. Yeah, for sure.
Lonster, let's do a special lunch with Lonnie, but what are we having for Thanksgiving?
You know what? We're going to be having turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, salads, pies, the whole nine yards.
Man, it sounds good. Save me a plate, Lonster.
You know what? Why don't you come on over and we can maybe work out a deal there.
All right, my friend. Appreciate you. Great listener of the show. You're a Hall of Famer, my friend. You're a Hall of Famer.
Well, you know what? It's great to tune you guys in and have lunch with you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. Thanks for the call, Lonster. Yeah, to all of you hooligans, by the way, you hooligans and Hall of Famers, and by the way, maybe this is a good time to announce that, you're a hooligan just by listening to the show. That's the rule. We put that in place. We have it in the bylaws. If you listen to the show, you are a hooligan. You become a Hall of Famer when you interact with the show. when you go on our social medias and you follow us and you comment and you get after it, you hit the text line, you call into the program, all those things make you a Hall of Famer. Big Hub, he's a big-time Hall of Famer. He is a big-time Hall of Famer. He's
You're
my
not
guy.
Not paying him anymore, right?
We're not. I don't think so. Big Hub, am I paying you anymore?
2 pennies a month. I mean, that's something. But yeah. You get your 2 cents in there.
Eastside Chris, over the last, 2 years, has become a Hall of Famer. He's gotten into that. Dixon's in the Hall of Fame. Who am I missing? Am I missing any Hall of Famers? I don't have an actual list out there.
Noob.
Noob's a Hall of Famer. Stick He's an Man. OG Hall of Famer. Stickman's a Hall of Famer.
Rapping Insurance guy's on here.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Sport chimes in from time to time.
Yeah.
You see, some of our lists, our numbers just don't have nicknames on them. Flying Dutchman's on here.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. You can disagree with me and still be a Hall of Famer.
County Swami?
He's a Hall of Famer. Okay. He's a Hall of Famer. You want to graduate from a hooligan to a Hall of Famer? You got to interact.
Who's like at the end of the hall in the golden frame with all the lights on it?
Like the big time Hall of Famer? Yeah,
like the Hall of Famer.
It might be the arch nemesis of the show.
I mean, he's the only one that has that title.
It might be. You know, we love him. We hate him. We love to hate him. Yeah, Dixon. We're calling you out, man. He's probably in hibernation today.
So don't toss him anything. He might drop.
Oh. You know, that game was interesting. A lot
of
drop passes.
Jalen Carter had a drop pass.
Yeah.
On a spike.
Yeah.
You got to look out for that now.
I've always wondered why guys don't try to do that more.
I don't think I've ever seen it executed that perfectly.
He almost scooped the spike.
As big as that man is, to dive in between the legs of a center who's crouched down in like that little space, and he got both hands almost on the ball.
Well, now you're going to throw centers off now where they're like, I'm going to have to start closing
legs
my legs
almost.
A little bit because there's going to be a giant dude.
You tell your quarterback, hey, I need you to drop back another yard or two.
I've always wondered, why not take a shot? Why not just dive under there?
You could play it against them. Is I'm going to fake a spike.
And oh.
Think about faking a spike. And
yes.
Then there you go.
This is why I know we're talking a lot of like heated stuff, but this is why I do love the NFL. The tush push, the spiking, all that. Teams try to take advantage of things they've been watching their whole life, and then somebody just, the light goes on either with the individual player or a coach just says, they're going to spike it. Try that thing, man. Try
that
thing.
He saw it on YouTube, a high school player trying it.
See, that's what
I'm going to do that.
I love that, man. You know,
imagine if he got it.
It would have been the greatest play I've ever seen. I think that would have been the greatest play I've ever seen. Officially. Man, packing a punch today. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Let's just bust through the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Angel, I know you hate it, but for now, I respect it. The tush push, I mean, they're just moving guys around, man.
I don't hate it, much less, like, I respect the ingenuity and the innovativeness of it. Just, when you do it against my team 4 times in a drive, it's just frustrating.
Jalen Hurts, like, looks at the camera when he knows they're getting ready to do the tush push. Like, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, he just looks over like, you know what time it is. And boom. It didn't look like that touchdown that the Philly, whatever touchdown that was, their last touchdown, I think, that ultimately put this thing out. It didn't look like he was going to get it. And then you just see this bulldozing effect. Like, he's stuck at the line, and then it just goes forward like that. It's not a sexy play, but, man.
And I don't know if the NFL is going to ban it, but they may put an emphasis on, hey, I need you to blow the whistle.
Hey,
once that pile reaches a point where it's not moving, blow your whistle.
They might look at that, yeah. Bad for me. Turned out to be okay. Malone gets ejected in the first period. Joker gets ejected in the second, and that's the one that really pissed me off. I've seen LeBron flail on the ground like a child. Joker is getting mad because he's getting roughed up on a double team, and he's just like, what the hell? And he goes up to the ref. He's like, what? What? And they throw him out. Here's the Pistons broadcast on their thoughts, the home team.
You know, Jokic has to stop. He's got a technical. He's going to get thrown out like Malone.
Yep, right there.
Unbelievable.
Let me tell you this. These fans did not come here to see Curtis Blair, Trey Maddox, or Andy Nagy, whoever they are.
So that first one was altitude. That was the play. And then the Detroit Pistons home TV crew actually said, what the hell, man? Nobody's out here to watch the 2-win Pistons. They're here to watch Nikola Jokic.
And I think that was a lot of the reaction I saw. Not as much about the ejection, but about this is a two-time MVP NBA champ.
What are we doing?
He's not getting any respect.
No.
He has the most points in the paint statistically and the least amount of free throw attempts.
At least they won. Yeah. Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, guys stepping up. You found a way to win.
David Adelman.
Oh, yeah.
What a great assistant.
I love what he said, too. He's like, getting Joker out of there really helped us win that game in the post game.
Good defense.
Yeah, they did. They played great defense. KCP, defensive player of the year.
First team All-NBA defense.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's on his way. The ugly is that Avs game last night. They're up 3-2 with how many seconds left?
13.
And it's just a breakdown. Jared Bednar still thought they played a good game. That's one of those losses that could really torpedo a season. Now, again, they're 11-6. I'm not there, but this is a loss where now suddenly there's a fear that no lead is ever safe with you. So, 31 minutes after the hour, we do have the Bednar. Let's hear from Jared Bednar on that. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I think couple timely goals, the energy starts to go up and you can see the belief. But the other night I said this, I know that people may think I'm crazy, but we're down 3-0. I thought we were playing a pretty good hockey game. I thought the game was pretty neutral. Scoring chances on both sides were low. We had to earn what you got, whether you forced a turnover, you're, a skilled player made a play, whatever it may be, hunting down rebounds in a couple of those cases. I just thought they did a nice job finishing on their chances early in the game, and we didn't, so we felt like we were playing okay. Probably better first period than what we played in there in the recent past. It's a difficult building to go in there, always jumping at the start of the game. So we felt like if we kind of just stuck with it and stuck with it, that we would get some opportunities to close the gap, and our guys did that. We finished much better in the second half of the game. We got some timely saves, some big penalty kills, power play gets one. There's a little bit of everything involved in that comeback, but certainly you have to have that mental toughness to stay with the game, and you got to have the belief that you can come back and win, and our guys had it on that particular night, and we end up pulling out a big win for our team, and hopefully we carry some of that over into tonight.
I think that might have been a mess up on my end, a different clip, but either way, this was rough, Angel. Just trailing by a goal in the final minute, Forsberg, not that Forsberg, scored. And then they pull the extra attacker for an extra attacker. They get done with 37 seconds remaining, and then they tie the game. And then with just a few seconds remaining, they come out and pull out the win. Apologies on that clip. That's my bad. 4-3 over the Colorado Avalanche. Rough night. So there's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Eastside Chris, you also have to know where the den is to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe so. 34 after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I'll be brief here. So I know we're already behind. It's a power hour, Angel. Anything can happen in a power hour. We may be doing something like that tomorrow, too, depending on what it looks like for the UNC basketball team. I know there's going to be some of you that come at me like you're just promoting soft football. No, I'm just telling you that it's a business. And when you continuously get sued and in trouble for the way you're operating, you're going to change what you do. So, I would never blame a former player that's going through hard times with CTE and stuff. But honestly, if you want to blame someone for why the NFL is changing things, those are the guys that are going up with all these lawsuits and taking the NFL to court. Those are the ones you should be talking to. Those are the ones you should be upset with. And like I said, I don't
have every right to do it. It's just an interesting perspective when it's, I played the game this way and the game's different now, but I still want my money for putting myself in danger like that.
Well, it's like, and we don't have to play it, but like Tom Brady's clip coming out saying he doesn't like the way some of the things I agreed with, but saying he doesn't like, dude, he got so many first downs because of grazes to the face mask.
Didn't they make a whole rule about
they
Tom
got a
Brady?
Tuck rule and everything. I mean, they might, some might argue that they really strengthen their quarterback protection calls to protect Tom Brady.
And you still see quarterbacks do this. Mahomes, Allen, all these quarterbacks still do the put their hand. Well, where's the flag? Where's the flag? He touched my shoulder.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. Like, we're getting into this point. And I agree with Tom Brady on a lot of things. We are getting conditioned. Wide receivers are getting conditioned when they go down for a pass and they don't catch it and there's contact. They just look right at the ref. And we're all doing that now. We're all conditioned for it. 11:40 the time. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thanksgiving is a couple of days away. I could feel it. I'm going to take a little break off Thursday, off Friday, and I think I'm off Monday too. So, you know, I'll still be tweeting out everything that's going on over the weekend. Follow me at Hull Show and, you know, keep up to speed with what's on my brain and everything. You know, Angel, we've diversified a lot of our coverage this year. I've talked more Wyoming Cowboys football than I ever have. And you know you're starting to make a dent when now they're starting to come at you when you don't include them in your conversations.
Entitlement?
No, I like it. This show should go the way the listeners want it to go. If there's stuff that you're not liking that we're talking about, I'm not going to get engagement and we're not going to get growth in the program. But if there's things that I'm missing that you want to talk about and I get enough people in an uproar wanting it, then, you know, we'll work to do our best to try to cover a little bit more of that.
I mean, if we get 10 texts talking about the den, I mean, we're going to talk about the den.
We've talked about the den probably more than anything in the history of the show.
They don't even pay us.
They don't even pay this program, and they get live reads all the time. Because
they have, like,
we know
regulars because of the show.
Yes. They all are like, what's Brady talking? Oh, this is what he's talking about?
I wouldn't be shocked
if family here.
They're playing the show on their speakers.
They probably are. You know, let's cue it up for Rhonda, and then it's just welcome back into the whole show. Yeah, that's great. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, I don't think we have enough time to really bust into this today. YahooSports.com, very interesting article from Ross Dellinger. Is college athletics headed for the great split? He said there's a Big Ten athletic director, Anonymous, said we need to recreate or relaunch the NCAA. There's a lot to be discussed here, but we're talking about this NIL stuff becoming more of a splitting of the revenue, essentially, for these power schools. And I'm talking SEC and Big Ten and potentially the Big 12 and ACC and whatever the hell the Pac Tupac becomes, if they're even going to be in the mix. But this is what a couple of different, several people talking about this as far as quotes. Here's one quote from an anonymous guy. I do believe 5 years from now that we will be at a point where we are sharing revenue with student athletes. I think we've seen that writing on the wall. Obviously, that doesn't exist for Colorado State and some of these other schools, but you're going to see that at the SEC Big Ten level because they have the money, and you're going to get there.
Yeah, and I, you know, kind of just been skimming through this article, and my biggest takeaway is this is way more complicated than just, yeah, we're just going to share the revenue, because then you start to get into, okay, is this just for football? Is this just for basketball? Or is this all college athletics? Because NIL works for all college athletes, and, you know, swimming doesn't make nearly as much as women's basketball. Women's basketball doesn't make nearly as much as men's basketball, and then football and whatever. So, and then you get into the Title IX stuff, scholarship opportunities. Are these kids employees of the school or are they student athletes? And I think the easiest way to do it, and we'll talk more about this, I guess, tomorrow.
Probably tomorrow.
I think there is a way you can revenue share that you can make it equal and you put a cap on it. That's a terrifying word for NIL, but put a cap on these things, and it makes it more manageable.
There's talk of getting rid of NIL now, this short-lived experiment, because they're going to make it legal to revenue share. So obviously that impacts us small. You know, we do the radio shows and everything. I've always liked that the kids are able to go out and earn. I don't know where I sit on now we're going to split it all up. That's because that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt other programs. That's going to hurt smaller schools.
Well, we saw this with the EA Sports video game where it's, do you right. players all want to get a flat rate of $500
yep.
or do you want Caleb Williams cover athlete Heisman winner to get way more money than a CSU
Correct.
Second string guy that just wants his name in the game.
Mm-hmm. And the big guys were like, we're not doing that for $500. And then the UNC CSU players, probably Air Force guys, are like, dude, $500 just to use my face and my name? Yeah, I'll take $500, please. Thank you. The case, this case back in the day where they were seeking as much as $3 billion in retroactive name, image, and likeness, NIL, and broadcasting revenue payments, is the latest lawsuit expected to chip away at the NCAA's bedrock of amateurism. This is according to this Yahoo.com on the sports story we pulled up. The case will undoubtedly force the organization to distribute more revenue to athletes like those legal losses and maybe seeking the elimination of the NCAA's in NIL rules. One SEC president describes its outcome as financially catastrophic. There's talk of FBS schools each chipping in upwards of $5 to $10 million in potential settlement payments. So they're still trying to settle what was owed in, you know, quotation marks, years ago to some of these athletes wanting money.
And if you think this stops at TV sharing, just wait till they bring up gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, this guy put $100 on me to win to have 300 yards passing. If I get 300 yards, I should get a portion of that money.
I don't know if that, because that doesn't really happen with the NFL or anything.
Not yet.
Not yet. But get ready, because this all works together, all of it. NIL, transfer portal, college football playoffs. Angel, this is probably what's going to happen. It's going to be the SEC, the Big Ten, and they're probably going to all merge with the Big 12 and ACC, and it's just going to be NFC, AFC, those are the teams. You make the cut, sorry, you're in the NCAA. The college football playoffs were about big brands. Big brands.
Sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
Exactly. That's the way it's going to go. And do I like it? Nope. Do I get it? I do.
I still think I think it could eventually get to that, and I still think there's an avenue for your Power 4, Power 2, the middle guys who are left over, and then still the FCS at the lower level.
You basically, the middle guys, which would be like a Mountain West conference.
Your Mountain West, your American, Sun Belt.
They'd be playing for the NCAA's bowl games.
I think they could make a championship out of it. It wouldn't be.
But it'd be your.
It would be a secondary. Just like the FCS has their championship.
We just create another step, another tier.
Mm-hmm.
So the SEC and the Big Ten.
Which will eventually be super conferences.
That's
with
essentially
like 30 teams each.
And that'll essentially be NFL too. SEC Big Ten, ACC Big 12. It will be NFL 1.0. And then the rest will be you're playing for your conference championships and all that. And you can go to the Tostitos Bowl and all those kind of things. But you're not going to be in the real playoffs. You're not going to be top-level college Division I football. The writing's on the wall. 8 minutes until the top of the hour. We got the Jack Howell Show coming up at noon, and then we've got UNC getting ready to tip off. Mike Rice will have the Blue and Gold pregame show for you at 12:30. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sorry, Angel, I jumped the gun. That was a fast-paced show, dude. That was Power Hour. That was a Power Hour right there. We got UNC Hoops coming up at 12:30 with the Blue and Gold pregame show. Mike Rice will be on the call for you. Coming up next, I got the Jack Howell Show, a shortened version of that. Talks about the win over Nevada and how mission's not accomplished yet. They gotta beat Hawaii to become bowl eligible. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Busy day still to come here on KFKA. Don't turn away. We'll be right back.